Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. If you're using a pew Bible, that's going to be page 935. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to begin reading with verse 12 and read through verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Let's read God's word together with enthusiasm and excitement and thanksgiving that it is well with our souls. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Thank you so much. You can be seated. This section of our text deals, or is really focused on, two groups that Paul is addressing in the church. The first group were the Sadducees. They were a sect of Jewish believers who believed that there is no resurrection. The Sadducees and the Pharisees at the time of Christ were the two main religious groups. You were either a Pharisee or a Sadducee. And both those groups were on the Sanhedrin. In fact, it was the Sanhedrin who posed the question to Jesus in the 20th chapter of Luke and told him the story of a woman who married a man, and that man died without them having children. And then she married all of his brothers, and all of them died, and then the woman died without having any children. And the question was, in the resurrection, whose wife will she belong to? That was the thinking of the Sadducees, and that was how they attempted to trick Jesus. The second group that Paul is addressing that were alive during this time and in the church at Corinth were the Gnostics. The Gnostics were primarily Greek believers who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believed that Jesus' body was not resurrected, only his spirit was resurrected. So his spirit was resurrected out of the tomb. His body was left behind to rot and decay. And so it was his spirit that ascended back to Jesus, not his body. And so Paul, in addressing this teaching that is going on in this church from the Sadducees, who are now believers, and the Gnostics, who are believers, that there is no resurrection of the dead, that once you die, that is the end of it, Paul is addressing this section primarily to those two groups of people. And it is from this passage of Scripture that we draw those words in the Apostles' Creed about believing in the resurrection of the dead. And so Paul, like a lawyer, presents his case to the church. And he does so by presenting seven repercussions, seven realities, seven truths that would be in effect if Christ is not raised from the dead and if there is no resurrection of the dead. He began it in verse 13 of our text, where we read, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. So point number one is this. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christianity is a sham. There's nothing to it. It is a false religion. It has no foundation to stand upon. It is nothing at all. Because the basis of Christianity, the foundation of Christianity, is not so much the cross, although that is very vitally important and necessary. But the foundation of Christianity is that Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose again. Our religion is based upon the fact that the tomb is empty, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It is what the angel said to Mary in Matthew 28, verse 6, where the angel said this to her, "He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." Notice, he didn't say, "Come, see the place where he lies." He did not say, "Come see his body where it is." He said, "Come see where he was. Come see where his body laid, but he is not here." We believe in the resurrection of the dead. And if we do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, then there is no such thing as Christianity. We are like every other religion that can point you to the tomb of its founder or can point you to the tomb of those who were instrumental in it. The Mormons can point us to the tomb of their founder. The Jews can point us to the tomb of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then later the tomb of David. The Buddhists can point us to the tomb of Buddha. It goes on down the line. But Christianity is the only religion that said, we can point you to a tomb, but the stone has been rolled away and you will find no one in that tomb because he has been resurrected and has ascended to the Father. If Christ has not been raised, if there is no resurrection, not only is Christianity a sham, but all of our ministers have been liars. Every minister that has stood behind this pulpit, every minister that has stood at a funeral, every evangelist that has stood before a congregation or a cathedral or an auditorium, every pastor, every missionary that has been sent out in the far reaches of the world to preach the gospel, they were all liars. Because Paul said this, and if Christ, in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain. If Christianity is a sham, then those who purport it and those who try to keep it going are charlatans. They're liars. All of them. If Christ has not been raised, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then there is no hope. Because in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, we read it, where he said, if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ has not been raised, then what you purport your life to be is untrue. There's nothing to it. All the things that you've done, all the money that you've given, all the sacrifices you've made, all the prayers that you have prayed are all null and void and were a waste of time if Christ has not been raised. Paul said, our faith is in vain. Our faith is placed in Christ. Our faith is based upon what he did on the cross. Our faith is based upon the fact that the cross was not the end. The tomb was not the end. Our faith is based upon that. And Paul said, if you can go to the tomb of Christ and see there the dust, the remains of Christ, then our faith is nothing. And what makes it worse would be this, is that we are the only faith that says there is a resurrection of the dead. that Christ is raised from the dead. It makes our faith even more vain, even more false than every other religion of the world. I like how the New English Translation put the latter part of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is futile and your faith is empty." There's nothing there. If Christ has not been raised, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we are all liars. We're all untruthful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes this, "We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised." Can you imagine standing at the bed of a dying family member? And that person, he or she, have lived all their life for Jesus Christ. And here they are coming near the very end of their life. And for you to stand there and say, "It was all false, all untrue. All that you believed was all untrue. And when you die, that's the end of it. There's nothing else left once you take your last breath." That would be most cruel. And yet Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is empty. And what we are telling others is not true. It would mean that every time you've shared your testimony about how Jesus came into your heart and forgave you of your sins, every time you stood with someone or sat by someone or knelt by someone and took their hand as they were grieving, and you said to that person, "I can't imagine what you're going through. I can't imagine what you're feeling. I cannot imagine your sorrow. But this is the hope that you have, that one day you will see them again. They are with Jesus," then all of that was untrue. And what a horrible person that would make you to be if Christ has not been risen from the dead. If Christ is not risen from the dead and there is no resurrection of the dead, then Paul tells us that we are still in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." That means when you knelt at that altar, or you knelt beside that bed, or you sat there in your chair, or someone was talking to you, or the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart, and you said, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent. I'm sorry. I want you to be my Savior." If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then basically nothing happened at that moment. And you and I are still in our sins. There is no forgiveness. There is no reconciliation with God. There is no restoration of relationship. We are as lost as anyone else with no hope. It would mean that every person across the world, from the time Peter stood in Acts chapter 2 and preached his first message, and the writer of Acts, Dr. Luke, tells us that 3,000 people were saved, it would mean that every person from that moment on, to the far reaches of Africa, to the far reaches of South America, to the far reaches of the Middle East, that all of them are still in their sins. Even though they made a confession of faith in Christ, it would mean that every martyr that died at the stake, that was crucified, their body taken from with sword, that was pushed off a cliff, that were stoned to death, that were burned at the stake, that were beaten, that were shot, that were murdered, every martyr, everyone who said, "I choose Christ at the cost of my life," that all of them were deceived. And that the giving of their life was a waste. Because they were just as sinful when they died as when they were born. Imagine the horror and the hopelessness of knowing there is no forgiveness. There is no relief. There's only condemnation and guilt and shame, and that you will carry that throughout your life. And there's no relief for it. There's no forgiveness for it. That is your burden to bear. It would mean that Scripture, such as John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." It would mean that was a lie. It would mean Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It would mean that Paul sat down deliberately and wrote a lie and mailed it out to the church. Because in essence, if there's no resurrection of the dead, you and I are not new creations. We're the same old creatures. If there is no resurrection of the dead, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then those who have died have perished eternally. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, "Then those also who have died in Christ have perished." I mentioned to you Bill Childers, Bill O'Connor, Marie Capice. Sherry went back and pulled a list beginning from 2015 all the way through 2023 of those of this church who have passed away. And many of them, I have stood here at this pulpit and have shared about their life. And many of them, I walked up to that cemetery there and shared scriptures about, we have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. This is not the end. They have now really begun to live. And yet Paul writes and says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, if Christ has not been raised, then all those who died have perished eternally. It would mean that person that you loved dearly, maybe a parent, maybe a child, maybe a sibling, maybe a spouse, that when they died, that was it. There's no hope of ever seeing them again because they have perished eternally. We would have no joy. We would have no hope. We would be of all people. Paul said, if the resurrection is true, we are of all people most hopeless. And then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Paul said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, of all the people on the earth, of all the religions that there are, have been, are, and will be if Jesus tarries, that we are of all people most to be pitied because we have believed the ultimate lie. And we have swallowed the ultimate deception. And we have proclaimed it, and we have preached it, and we have propagated it, and we taught it to our children, and we hoped our children would teach it to their children, and we came, and we gave, and we sacrificed. We did all those things. And Paul said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, if Christ has not been raised, then we are of all people most to be pitied. Please forgive my English, but that would make us the biggest fools who have ever lived. Back in 1997, when Halley's Comet was drawing close enough to Earth that we would be able to see its orbit, Marshall Applewhite convinced a group of people that Halley's Comet offered them the opportunity to ascend to what he called the next level before the closure of Heaven's Gate. In March of 97, 38 of his followers, along with Applewhite, committed suicide believing that their spirits would rendezvous with Halley's Comet and be transported to heaven. I remember reading that. I remember seeing the pictures as they went in the home where these people were living, and you could see their bodies with these spacesuits on that were lying there dead. And you look at that and you think, how could they believe that lie? How could they be so foolish? How could they be deceived? And yet Paul says that if Christ is not raised from the dead and there is no resurrection of the dead, those people were smarter than we are. That we really are the biggest fools. The Apostles' Creed proclaims, as did the Apostle Paul, that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. In verse 51 of our text, Paul said this, "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality." And then I read it at the beginning of our service, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died." Thank you. Each Sunday, when we come to that phrase in the Apostles' Creed where it says, and we've started off with, "I believe," and we get to that latter part where it says, "the resurrection of the dead," we are proclaiming that to those who lie out in our cemetery, to those who lie out in cemeteries around the world, to those who perished and their bodies were never recovered, but they died in Christ. We are proclaiming with a loud, steady assurance that we believe in the resurrection of the dead, that life does not end with death, but life simply moves into another stage that we call eternal life. Thomas Jefferson, who was the author of the Declaration of Independence and the third president of the United States, was a deist, which simply means that he believed that God was revealed through nature. As such, he did not believe in the miracles of Jesus. And so Congress once printed a special edition of what was called Thomas Jefferson's Bible, in which he sat down with a Bible and cut out all references to the supernatural, beginning the book of Genesis and going all the way to the book of Revelation. He cut out every reference to miracles, every reference to the supernatural, every reference to what anything Jesus did in the Gospels. Benjamin Franklin was also a deist. He was the 15th child in a family of 17 children. Before his death, Franklin wrote his own epitaph, and this is how it reads, and I quote, "The body of Benjamin Franklin Printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms." But then he added another line, "But the work shall not be lost, for it will appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author." We believe in the resurrection of the dead. You and I face death, we face sorrow, we face grief, we face what lies ahead of us if Jesus tarries for every single one of us. We face death, knowing that it is a reality, but also knowing this, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. I remember the morning, the Saturday morning that our brother passed away, and I was called to the hospital, and I got to his room while they were bringing our brother up out of the emergency room into the room. And I hear them coming, and they come in, they're rolling the bed out of the emergency room, and walking beside the bed was our brother's doctor. And they get Bubba in the bed, and the first question he asked the doctor was this: am I going to die? Am I going to die? And the doctor sat down beside him and said, yes, Bubba, you are going to die. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are heading to a far better place. So I would tell you, if Jesus tarries, yes, you and I are going to die. But the hope we have is this: because Christ is raised from the dead, we too shall be resurrected. And so when we say the Apostles' Creed, and we come to that next to last section that says, the resurrection of the dead. Oh, I'm telling you, I can't imagine what it is going to be like when the trumpet sounds and Christ comes and graves burst out all over the world and people begin to rise, those who know Christ. And they will lift up the song that we sang, it is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection of the dead. We thank you, Father, that life does not end at the grave. But Lord, we attest and proclaim we believe in the resurrection of the dead. So Lord, today we thank you for the hope that we have. We thank you for the joy that we have. We thank you for the faith that we have in the resurrection of the dead. In Jesus' name, amen.